Good morning to all of you. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here again and to worship with you all. I enjoyed the Sunday school discussion as well, and also the vulnerability part stood out to me. Realized that I need to make myself more vulnerable in areas because I find myself trusting myself, and that's not a good place to be. We can see what that did to the King Amaziah there in our Sunday school lesson. Destroyed him. And we don't want to end up that way. This morning for a message, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The inspiration for the message this morning has come from our study in our Sunday school classes of the kings that have started out right and ended up wrong. And as a young person, you notice older people, start to look at older people as having a lot of wisdom and having a lot of experience. And there's some people that you look at and you say, when I reach the age, I hope I am like that person. And you look at some other people and you say, when I reach that age, I hope that the choices in life take me to a completely different spot than where that person's at. And these verses from Timothy here were an encouragement to me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to read verse 7 and 8. My Bible has in the margin that this is Paul's last testimony. And it's a testimony we're familiar with. It says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What a testimony. Paul is nearing the end of his life, and he is writing this testimony to encourage young Timothy. And I have found this book to be very encouraging to me, because I can find myself and I can relate with where Timothy's at in his life. And the writings of Paul have been a tremendous encouragement to me. Paul's about ready to pass on from the scenes, and he wants Timothy to carry on the work that he has begun and wants him to pick up the work and go on. And as Paul looks back, I'm sure he recognizes the weaknesses that he had in his life. I don't know what all was going through Paul's mind here when he gave his testimony, but I'm sure he saw times of failure in his life. I don't know if he thought about the time where he was standing there at guarding those clothes for Stephen stoning, or people that he had taken to prison for serving Christ. But we know that Paul, when he was struck down there on that road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And from that point forward, Paul entered a race of following after Christ and doing what Christ asked of him. Paul realizes here that he's close to receiving the crown. He realizes he's close. And he realizes that he's been victorious through the power of Jesus Christ. I believe everyone this morning here would want to have this testimony at the end of their life. We want to be able to look back and say with confidence, like Paul here, I have finished, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course or my race. I have kept the faith and look forward with confidence to the crown that Paul was confident of here. Paul's confident in the way that he had run the race, that the crown was waiting for him. And that crown's not just for him. It's for all who are looking for Christ's return. Paul makes that clear here. That crown is for you and I. I've just found it very sobering in our Sunday school discussions over the last few months. These kings that start out right, and they're full of potential, full of the ability to lead a nation towards God. And many of them start out right, but almost all of them end their reign experiencing the wrath of God and being judged for the way that they have led the people of God into idolatry. they take what they've been given and squander it. Think about the king we studied this morning. He started out right, but he ended up serving the gods that of the people that he destroyed. It makes no sense, but time and time again, it happened. How does this happen that we start out right and end up so wrong? And we've, over the last few weeks, we've studied many of those things that factor into men turning away from God. And I hope that we have learned from the discussions we've had in Sunday school. They're not just another king in Israel, but we can learn something from each one of them. What happened? I know it can become discouraging and maybe monotonous to study the kings, but there's lessons there for us, and I hope that we're learning them. What I want to look at this morning is how do we need to live today so that when we come to the end of life, where Paul was at here in 2 Timothy, that we can give this testimony and with confidence look forward to that crown. Paul isn't here this morning, so we can't directly ask him, Paul, how did you live so that you were able to give a testimony like this? But we have many writings of Paul, and we'll look at those this morning and learn some keys for being able to give a testimony like this at the end of our life. Paul repeatedly gives the example of a race to the people he was writing in his letters, different people, Corinthians, Romans, of course, Timothy, and other people, that compared the Christian life to a race and how we can run with confidence. There's probably a number of reasons that Paul gave this analogy, but one of the main ones, especially in the Corinthians, we'll look at that in a little bit. In Corinth, there was huge stadiums and sporting events that happened there. And these Isthmian Games, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, which would be comparable to our modern day Olympics. Those games were held there in the city of Corinth. And I'm sure it was not uncommon for the Christian church there at Corinth to see people who were training for the events that took place inside of those stadiums. They saw the people out running and exercising and preparing for these big races. So something they could easily relate to. Paul wanted them, the people he was writing to think of their spiritual journey when they saw those athletes out there running, throwing themselves into the work of an athlete. When I see someone exercising and disciplining themselves, it motivates me to do better in my discipline. I don't know if you've thought about that. When you see someone out there jogging and sweating, my mind instantly goes to, Sonny, you need to do more of that. We need to be inspired by other people exercising. I'm inspired by an older man that jogs the road on my way to work. It doesn't matter what the weather is, that man is out there exercising. He is running. And when I compare my spiritual discipline with his physical discipline, I realize that I have some weaknesses. I have some areas that needed to grow, and my physical discipline for that matter. This morning for a title, I want to use finishing strong. We need to be able to finish strong. That was Paul's testimony here in 2 Timothy. He was finishing strong. How can we finish strong? The kings of Israel, they finished weak. They lost out. What happened? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'd like to learn a couple lessons here from this passage. If you're taking notes, I have 7 keys to finishing strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to read 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The first key in finishing strong, take from verse 24, is to run with all your might. I think that's what Paul is teaching here in verse 24. Everyone knows at the beginning of a race, there's only going to be one winner. And thankfully, in our spiritual race, we can all be winners through Christ. But in a physical race, there is only one winner. And the whole reason that you would enter a race is because you think there's a possibility that you can win that race, right? And that's the way you run. When you start out in the race, you don't run thinking that you're going to lose. Paul says when you start the race, you run like you want to win this race. Every runner in this race lays everything on the line and runs with all his might, holds nothing back. Paul says that's how we need to run. He says, so run that you may obtain. In a race, there's no runners that slide through on someone else's effort. Or it's each man for himself. Unless it's a team race, it's each man. And that effort that he puts into the race is evident at the end. Is he way at the back, or is he right up there at the front? Is he leading the pack? A half-hearted runner doesn't receive the crown any more than someone who is sitting in the crowd. If he's not going to give everything that he has to this race, he may as well just sit on the sidelines and watch the other people run, because there's no difference in the prize, right? Paul says you need to run the race with all you have. Put all your might into it. Run to win the race. Give it everything that you have. Second key to finishing strong is in verse 25 and verse 27. There needs to be some discipline. If we're going to finish strong, we're going to have to discipline ourselves. And discipline and temperance are just not words that we like to hear, especially in our culture. But a runner who wants to win disciplines himself and exercises self-control. The dedicated athlete will deny himself things that other people are enjoying, or even things that are maybe not that harmful for him, because he has a goal of winning the race. And that focus dictates his choices on that he makes. When he goes to the refrigerator, when he gets up in the morning, it dictates his choices of what he's going to do today, because he's thinking about the race that he was going to run, whether it's today or in the future. Paul says here in verse 25, the runner is temperate in all things. And in verse 27, Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Discipline. We need to discipline ourselves. There's things we need to cut out. We'll look at some weights here a little bit later. But there's things that we need to discipline ourselves in if we're going to win this race. There's maybe some areas that I need to discipline in my life that are okay for some other people, that they don't need to exercise as much discipline in. We all have areas that we struggle, and we need to know where we need to discipline ourselves and be open to other people speaking into our life and helping us and saying, hey brother, here's an area that you are not being tempered in, or that you're excessive in, or this is an area that need to grow. Paul says he brings his body under. He brings it into subjection for the cause of the race. The third key I'd like to look at is proper nourishment. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10 for this point. Athletes don't get up and eat a diet of donuts, do they? They take on proper nourishment to have themselves in tip-top physical shape. He cuts out some things and he also adds some things. We talked about discipline in our last point. He cuts some things out But he also adds some things into his diet, into his life, to give him the strength to run that race. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We need to nourish ourselves in this race with some outside sources. We can't do it on our own. The athlete wants to be well nourished for the race. He drinks plenty of fluids, hydrating fluids. He gets plenty of rest. He eats nutritional food that builds him up, and he is preparing for that race. That's why we're here again this morning. We need nourishment, don't we? We need nourishment for the week ahead. I like to think of us meeting here on a Sunday to nourish ourselves going forward, not at the end of the week to refill, but to nourish ourselves going forward. And I know that's just a thought process, but I like to think of it as nourishing ourselves for the week to go forward. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I trust that when you come to church, you're encouraged and that you are strengthened, that you're built up. I know it takes effort to get here on Wednesday night, but when we take that time out of our schedule and we come together and we sing and we pray and we relate to our brothers and sisters, I feel like it's a shot in the arm for me in the middle of the week to build myself up, to continue on in the race, and to listen to the struggles of my brothers and their prayer requests. And I'm just tremendously encouraged to be together with this assembly. An athlete would never think of only eating on Sunday or Wednesday, though, would he? We need a nourishment daily, and we're privileged to have this book in our hands that we can nourish ourselves daily and encourage each other and challenge each other with God's word. We need to do that. There's many other ways that we can nourish ourselves. Listening to music. Well, music can be something that spurs us on in our race, or it can be something that takes away from us, depending on the type of music that we listen to. Got to make good choices in that if we want to finish strong. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. There's a couple more pages here. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Again, Paul is comparing our spiritual life to a race. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Wherefore, or because of, the cloud of witnesses, and we're thinking about the witnesses that are listed here in Hebrews chapter 11. The heroes of faith, people who have run this race before us, and they have conquered, they have overcome, and they have their reward. Paul says, because of all those, let's lay aside the weights that come into our life. Paul says, use these heroes as an example, an encouragement in our race. Well, fourth thing we need to do to finish strong is to lay aside weights. A runner wants to make himself as light as possible, whether it's shoes, the pants or shorts that he wears, the shirt, everything is about being as light as possible. Every little bit of weight matters. And I think this was, if we think back to the kings of Israel, this was one of their downfalls. They had these weights. This morning we looked at Amaziah bringing the gods back with him. But it seems almost every king. It says he started out right, but he didn't tear down the groves, and he didn't tear down the Asherah poles, and there's a number of things that he didn't do. And we see those things circling around to destroy him in the end. We see Solomon starting out right, but he married foreign wives, and he brought their gods back with him, and it turned his heart away from God. Those are weights that happened to the kings of Israel. Paul says, we need to get rid of those weights, those things that are going to drag us down. If we want to finish strong, we have to get rid of those weights. Paul gives us a list of those weights. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, some things we're going to need to get rid of. Ephesians chapter 4, 25 through 31. Very practical list here. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So these are things that we need to put away. Lying, anger, giving the devil any room to plant seeds in our hearts of bitterness or anger, wrath. Not giving any space to this. How about conversation here that's negative towards other people? Paul says those are weights that are going to drag you down in your race and keep you from finishing strong. We could turn to 1 Peter. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Peter also gives us a list of things we need to lay aside. 1 Peter 2. 1 Verse 1, he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. These are things we need to put away. These are things that are going to drag us down. Think about bitterness. Tremendous weight that people carry their whole lives. Just let it go. If we want to finish strong, we need to let those things go. These are things that just drag us down. There's many other weights. Our selfishness is a weight. Our lifting ourselves up. Sometimes it's our material possessions that become weights to us in our spiritual race. Drag us down. Let's look at distractions. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is another weight that keeps us from finishing strong. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read verse 3 through 5. Again, this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. A distracted runner will not finish the race strong. It's a temptation for us. It's a weight that wants to drag us down, become distracted with the things around us, and to not focus on the finish line, the goal of the race. It's one of the tricks of Satan, is to distract us from what we are running for. Think about the children. Remember the story of the tortoise and the hare. Who won that race? Someone tell me. How about the rabbit and the turtle? Who won the race? Know that story? The turtle won the race. The slowest animal, right? Won the race. He won the race by keeping his focus, right? He didn't get distracted with, like the rabbit, with taking a nap and for grabbing snacks. And I forget what all the distractions were that the rabbit had. But the turtle, he just kept on in the race. He kept on running. And that's a lesson for us as well. Don't become distracted if we want to finish strong. Verse 5 here talks about striving lawfully. If we want to win the race strong, we need to strive lawfully. We don't want to take shortcuts. The devil wants us to take shortcuts. When there's a race, there's a course to run, there's rules, and there's parameters that are put in place. That's what makes a race even a race. There's a starting point, and here's the course, and these are the obstacles that you need to conquer, and there's the finish line. Jesus has that race laid out for each one of us. And sometimes we want to take shortcuts and not go through the things that Christ would have us to walk through. But if we take shortcuts, we disqualify ourselves from the race, it says here in 2 Timothy. Can't take shortcuts. The fifth point in finishing strong is to run with patience. Run with patience, it says here in Hebrews. Turn back there, I turned to a different scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Paul challenges us. Turn to James 1 in verse 12. Wrong scripture there. James 1 verse 12 talks about enduring. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So the fifth key to finishing strong is to run with patience, or to endure. And endure has the thought of working through something and coming out the other side victorious. And it's not something that's short. It's something that is long. It takes time. And that's what the Christian life is. Some people's race is very short. They only serve Christ for maybe a couple years or a couple months. And other people who give their heart to Christ when they're very young, and they live their whole life for Christ. It takes a lot of endurance. I have a friend who runs endurance races, and he's always training and setting goals and lifting himself to the next level. The other day he ran 41 miles in 6 hours and 40 minutes, he said. And he said his next goal is 50 miles. Incredible endurance. That's just beyond my comprehension to be able to do that. But he starts small and works his way up and builds endurance and builds endurance and builds endurance until he reaches those kinds of goals. If we want to finish strong, we have to endure and to be willing to discipline ourselves and endure to the end. It's not a once and done experience. It's not just we give our hearts to Christ and we receive the crown, but it's a race. It's a long race. And we want to finish strong like Paul. In Hebrews 12 again, Paul tells us to keep our eyes upward. It's the sixth key to finishing strong, is keeping our eyes upward. When I read verse 1 and 2 here of Hebrews 12, I can't help but lift my eyes up. He says, look at the cloud of witnesses. You can't help but tip your head up when you think about that. And sometimes we get stuck in enduring this race and we have our head down. Paul is telling us here to look up. Look up to the people that have gone before us. There's a cloud of witnesses. They have run the race before us, and they are cheering us on. He also says, look to Jesus. He is the one who designed our race, and he's also run the race before us. He knows what we're going through, and we can look to him for encouragement. We need to keep our eyes upward. It's a key to finishing strong. Paul's testimony in Acts 20. It's an encouragement as I thought about keeping our eyes upward. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 24. Paul isn't sure what he's going to face as he leaves Jerusalem here. We know that they let him down over the wall in a basket. But this is Paul's testimony. He said, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul didn't let the circumstances around him discourage him in his race. He says, "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go up to Jerusalem. No matter what happens to me there, I'm ready to finish my race with joy. If this is the end of my race, then I'm going to finish it with joy." Paul was able to do that because he had his focus on the finish line. He had his focus on the crown that he was going to receive, not on the circumstances that were directly around him. So a key to finishing strong is to not look at the path, but look at the end, and to keep our eyes upward. Seventh point in how to finish the race strong is very simple, but we need to finish the race. The kings, they gave up partway through. They quit. Paul says we need to finish the race. If we want to be victors, we have to finish the race. And that race isn't over until our time here on earth is over. We need to go all the way to the end. We can't get to 60, 70, 80 years old and, well, I'm finished. No, the race is all the way to the end. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12 through 14. Paul again giving his testimony. He says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul is committed to finishing the race. We would say Paul apprehended, but Paul says, "No, I'm not there yet. I need to keep on going. I'm not finished. I need to finish the race." He says, "I follow after, leaving those things behind me." Paul is talking about his pedigree and the things that he could have gloried in and his accomplishments. He laid those things aside and says, "I press towards the mark. I'm pressing towards the goal." As Christians, we live not knowing where the finish line is. Sometimes it's hard for us to keep going because we don't know where the end is. We don't know if it's today yet or tomorrow or 20 more years. We don't know. 50 more years, 100 more years. We don't know where the end is. But to finish the race, we always need to be running like today is the finish line. Today might be the end of the race. If we're going to finish strong, we need to live today strong so that we're ready at the end of the race. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Matthew 10:22 says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." That's how we need to run. Run like the end is here, giving it our last effort. Well, in closing, what is the reward for finishing strong? Paul says we need to run with that crown in mind. We have a purpose in running this race. Paul says, "I don't run like I'm beating the air." We saw that back in 1 Corinthians 9. There's eternal destination in focus, and we are running for that. Our destiny is at stake. Paul says that the Olympic athletes commit their whole life. Their whole life is consumed just to get that little wreath of flowers and the honor that's very short-lived. And they're only at the top for a little bit. They're only there until someone else can run a little bit faster or someone else is a little bit stronger, and then their crown is gone. Our crown is eternal, and we're running in that way, giving it everything that we have. Revelation 2, verse 10 says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Sometimes we can get discouraged, and we can wonder if it's really worth it, all this running. It's because we lose sight of that crown. In our human minds, we can't even imagine the glory to be in the presence of God himself and to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and to receive that crown of life. The race here on earth will seem so small and so trivial, I think, when we are in the presence of Jesus Christ himself. Just one thought I want to leave with us here yet is the end of the race decides whether we are winners or losers. It's not necessarily the beginning of the race. It's the end of the race that decides whether we are winners or losers. So let's finish strong. Let's be faithful unto the end, and we will receive that crown of life that's promised to us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, for again being with us here this morning, blessing us with your presence. Lord, I just pray that if I said anything that would add to your word or take away from it, I pray that you would help us to turn our hearts towards you and that you receive the glory of the word this morning. Lord, help us to be strong in our race. Lord, help us to be encouraged by being with other believers and also those who have gone before us. And Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, help us to look up for encouragement. Help us not to look at the path ahead and become discouraged. Lord, give us the power and strength we need to face each day. Lord, bless each of us as we're in different places in our race. Lord, you know our individual needs, and I pray that your spirit would meet that need here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.